Good morning, everyone. So we talk about unemployment rate numbers all the time, month to month. First Friday of every month, we hear what the unemployment rate was. And in the last few months, it's been rising. And right now, it stands at 10.2%, the unemployment rate for the United States. And if that number is kind of an atlas of the recession, think of it as
a big picture.
A big picture, a globe of the recession, with little dots for all of us real human beings. Okay, you going with me here?
Right.
So where are the peaks and valleys? I mean, could we actually just find ourselves in this dreary recession geography? Aggregate numbers, of course, conceal more than they reveal. We've heard before the real unemployment rate in America, if you include the discouraged workers, those are the ones who stopped looking for work, right? And who aren't even counted, or part-timers, people who would like full-time work but can't get it, the unemployment rate is actually way over 15%. You start to break down for other groups by region, look at ethnicity, people with disabilities up above 70%.
Right.
That's kind of the Himalayas of those groups.
Right.
So, you know, what do we begin to see? The numbers really begin to pop up and down when you separate out for different groups. And what do we need here? You know, an economist or a map maker? Well, we've got a little bit of both this morning. The bright young face of Amanda Cox, graphics editor for The New York Times. Good morning, Amanda.
Good morning.
Amanda Cox is a graphics editor at The New York Times who recently did an online project that breaks down U.S. unemployment data by race, gender, age, and education level. Now, go to thetakeaway.org. You can find a link to that on our website. You can also go to The New York Times site and find this map. First of all, Amanda Cox, good morning.
Good morning.
And what was it like to take raw data and turn it into this map, ethnic, geographic, demographic map of the recession?
I mean, it's really just an attempt to get closer, to feel these numbers that we hear every Friday a little bit more at heart. You know, we hear every month, we know that the recession has hit men harder. We know that the recession has hit black people harder. We know that the recession has hit, young people harder. So, but when we start to, like, pile those risk factors on top of each other, what do you see? It's kind of what we are hoping to do.
And the idea, I mean, if we were to look for your demographic,
sure,
young, educated woman, that would be a pretty low elevation, right?
I think, college-educated women of my age group, white women, I think it's like 3.6% over
Happy
the last
trails.
Year.
Wow,
which is like
that's amazing.
No recession at all, really.
Men, it starts to go downhill or uphill from there, depending on if you're looking at the number, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit higher for men right now, but, still college-educated, particularly white men, still very, very low.
And the idea here is to try to allow people to see themselves in this recession and compared to, how they're doing with other groups to see what they and their peers are doing, right?
Sure, absolutely.
All right, what's it like for African-American men?
Particularly young men, I think, some rates can go up as high as 50%, black young men.
50%?
50%.
That's for black young men.
In the last year, without a high school education. So, black young men under 25.
And for aggregate number for black men is something on the order of, or for black workers, is something on the order of 17.5%.
Yeah, it's closer.
Hillary Shelton joins us this morning, director of the Washington Bureau and senior vice president for advocacy and policy for the NAACP. Hillary Shelton, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
So as much as we are kind of soaring through this recessionary map and noting the peaks and valleys, this 17.5 number for African-American workers is an outrage to you and the NAACP, right?
Well, it absolutely is. And as the demographer pointed out, it's worse in many other communities. If you look in some inner-city areas like Cleveland, you'll see a 50% unemployment rate among young African-American males. So it is a major problem. And if we look at the cities and trying to stabilize communities and families, of course, it's a tremendous affront.
And the NAACP has decided to confront the president directly, calling for the White House to do more to fight unemployment. What do you want here?
Well, we're looking for more creative programs. We're looking for ways to actually build small businesses. We know that small business is the largest employer in our country, and if we find a way to do that in inner-city areas, we'll help actually stimulate the economy on a couple different fronts, including hiring people. We want to just be more creative about our approach and making sure we look at things like our universities, that we're using resources in a very smart way to tool them to be able to retrain workers, to be able to come back out and work in their communities, again, start small businesses and do other things that are very constructive. We also want to see an emphasis on infrastructure development throughout the country. That is, if we can put our resources into repairing our roads, repairing our bridges, school construction projects, we know that brings resources right into communities. It is a twofer. You actually address the issues and challenges of making sure our highways don't fall in the middle of a rush hour, but you also repair our schools to make sure our children have a good, safe, secure, and modern place in which to learn.
Hillary, you know, I couldn't be more sympathetic to your message, and I absolutely believe that we should bring more attention to minorities and to groups like African Americans, like Latinos, like disabled people who are suffering disproportionately during this recession and from unemployment. But is there a certain amount of just PR that's involved in asking this of the president? I mean, how much control does the president have over these issues that are so complex and so much of a problem in our societal structure that, I mean, really, can Barack Obama solve the problem of disparities in employment?
Well, Barack Obama is the president of the United States. He is the CEO of the country. And very well, he's made the commitment. It's not as if this is something that he's disagreed with. He wants to see these kind of issues addressed. He said it during his campaign. He said it during the transition process. And he said it since he's been in office. And very well, it's not as if we have to twist his arm to do it. Just coordinate the work and make sure it actually gets done. The president provides the leadership, the catalyst, the bully pulpit, and then pull together government agencies, the private sector, and not-for-profit organizations like the NAACP and others. Is the kind of construct that will get this job done.
But Hillary Shelton, a lot of that was supposed to have already been done with the stimulus package. Am I hearing you, just to follow up on what Celeste said, am I hearing you saying the president hasn't done enough, that this White House has not done enough?
I think the White House has done an excellent job up to this point. That is, he walked into and inherited a real mess in this country, an economy that was going south, very well corporations that were going out of business, and the unemployment rate was beginning the spiral that we're experiencing right now. The next step, and he's taken the right first steps. The first step was to stabilize the economy,
right.
To make sure we have a foundation which we can build economically, including small businesses and jobs. The second step is to address the issues that have been an impediment also and a real challenge to our business community. And that, of course, is the issue of our health care in our country.
All right. And that's certainly something that's happening right now in the Congress. So Hillary Shelton, director of the Washington Bureau and senior vice president for advocacy and policy for the NAACP. Amanda Cox, we leave the higher elevations of unemployment of African-American workers and moved to Frances Morin, who's a college-educated woman who's just gotten a new job. Frances Morin, quickly before we go, do you see yourself on Amanda Cox's map there?
Well, actually, I think I'm kind of a fortunate that I don't think race isn't a factor in any of my hiring history so far.
But 3.5% unemployment rate for college-educated women, you've benefited from that directly, haven't you?
I think I have, although I only have really an associate's degree equivalent in this country. It's really based on my career path that I've taken that I've been able to get the jobs that I've been able to get.
All right, Francine, before we go, how much of a pay cut did you take for this new job?
It was $20,000.
Wow. Well, good luck to you. We will check in with you again, Francine Morin, Takeaway Listener, now working in a new job as an administrative assistant at a nonprofit. Amanda Cox, are you updating your map in ways that might suggest we've hit bottom?
Yeah, I think we have seen it. We've seen, for the last 4 months, the rate for college-educated people has stayed flat. It has stopped rising. So.
All right. Amanda Cox, graphics editor, our partner in the New York Times, with some good news. Go and look at that New York Times map. There's a link to it at thetakeaway.org.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.